I have another question for you. And this other question is, what stereo, I've been at meetings and there's been a lot of crying and gnashing of teeth when you get two groups to start to work together. So the question that I have for you is, what were the stereotypes that you held, you know, between each other when you started to interact?
Who wants to start?
Well, I think the biggest one for the Center for Urban Families, I think, especially with our Responsible Fatherhood Project, is, and even now, we're still actually learning from each other and figuring out how to work together, is really around the male. In terms of, one of the stereotypes that we had is that, you know, potentially the partnership wouldn't work because, you know, domestic violence people don't want to hear.
Because we hate men.
Yeah, don't want to hear about
Let's
the man.
Let's be honest. That's the stereotype. Right, that's the stereotype.
So that was the biggest, you know, that was the biggest stereotype. And since the roots of our organization is deeply rooted in responsible fatherhood, and we've expanded it into healthy marriage, which has made our organization so much richer. But I think for us, that was the biggest stereotype that we had to overcome to say, how can we have this partnership with the DV people when we're not going to be able to, you know, do anything with our men with them and get them the services that they need.
Not only that, I think we have to own, the House of Ruth has to own the fact that being one of the oldest domestic violence agencies around, we had a very white, older white leadership. And the Center for Urban Families was coming with a younger African-American leadership. And so there really were things that we had to talk about real honestly around institutional sexism, institutional racism that we all had to get beyond and still talk about on a daily basis. That is a constant conversation that we're having about how our perspectives are different. Probably the stereotypes we came to the table with are probably the same ones sort of Anne was talking about around resistance to the Healthy Marriage Initiative about, you know, fatherhood for the sake of fatherhood and father involvement at any cost, even if it's dangerous, or, you know, marriage for the sake of marriage, even if it's dangerous. I think, you know, share the same stereotypes. You know, I do presentations all over the country, and it seems we all share the same stereotypes of each other.
The literature on fatherhood talks about the fact that the best predictor of whether or not a father is going to have a good relationship with his children is based on the relationship that he has with the mother. That's right. Fatherhood literature.
Right.
But what's interesting and what I want to commend the Center for Urban Families in doing is thinking about that, and even before your interactions with the House of Ruth, started to incorporate some of that into your work.
Yes.
Then this makes it stronger. What's been interesting to me is that not everybody recognizes that if you address domestic violence, it helps to enrich relationships, right? Because you have a way to be able to deal with some of the barriers. And if there's violence in the family, obviously one of the consequences is it affects relationships.
Exactly right.
So I appreciate the work that you all have done. But I have this question for you, and Lisa, even though this is directed towards the center, I want your input as well. When the center started to focus explicitly on working with couples, how did this affect what you decided to do around domestic violence?
It was a, you know, kind of a natural progression. Again, as you just mentioned, Oliver, the work with fathers, you know, was just a natural progression for us to move into healthy marriage to incorporate the couple. But I think the relationship that we had with the House of Ruth helped us to know kind of at the outset that, okay, domestic violence is going to be even more important in the services that we provide to our couples, but also because of the history that we had with the House of Ruth, we saw it as an opportunity for us as in healthy marriage to be able to kind of bring the House of Ruth in, make them understand on a deeper level, you know, the way in which we plan to deliver healthy marriage education so that they can have a better understanding of it from a provider that they knew and kind of trusted, and we built that trust so that we can kind of help them understand it better and then develop the partnership, you know, deeper.
Okay. I want to ask you one brief, quick question.
Mm-hmm.
What are your successes, very briefly, successes and challenges in continuing to do this work? And what do you think other people can learn from what you're doing?
I think our challenges, particularly as Center for Urban Families moved into working with couples, is it changed the dynamic of our relationship. When it was, we were all working with men, it was pretty open flow of cross referrals. And suddenly, us as a domestic violence agency are saying, okay, we're not going to be referring to your couples program because we know people that come to us already identifying with issues of domestic violence. So it changes the dynamic of that relationship where it's not sort of that I'm going to scratch your back, you scratch mine kind of thing. While we're still exchanging ideas and working together, it's not the cross-referral process that it was before, which is, you know, takes a lot of discussion. You know, why do we expect referrals, but they shouldn't? And we have to find other creative ways to work together. Some of the other challenges, I think, is it's constantly with staff changing in both agencies, that it is a constant renewal. Like, we always have to sit down. Every year, it feels like we have a meeting where we sit down and say, you know, we put some challenges on the table, and we do talk about challenges. We have very uncomfortable conversations. We had a very uncomfortable conversation not too long ago.
Right.
Where you know, you come to the table, it's very uncomfortable, but we always walk away better for it. And the fact, I think our strength is that we come to the table and that we are asking each other the questions. And it's not just, you know, we're going to ignore that and continue this collaboration. It's a real honest collaboration. And that's been great. The other strength, I think, that really goes to us is this started before money came. This collaboration started years before. This has had a real basis, and we collaborate on other issues aside from just the couples program. That there's lots of different ways that CFUF, you know, supports us when we have Take Back the Nights events or, you know, fundraisers or we've done community events together. That there's lots of different ways we collaborate beyond, you know, and we consult on, you know, different curriculums, all kinds of stuff. There's lots of projects beyond this, so it doesn't feel like it's obligatory. I'm just meeting the standard for my grant, that it really is a true partnership. I think that's been probably our biggest success.
Okay.
Yeah, and just briefly, just I know because for time, I think one of our biggest challenges is the staff turnover and the cross education that has to go on between the two organizations. And our biggest strength, I concur with Lisa, is the fact that I think that Healthy Marriage Field has a lot to offer to the domestic violence field and helping to further their work. And I think one of our successes and strength is the fact that we have open dialogue about that on an ongoing basis, and Ann as well. Ann was at our site not too long ago, actually seeking information and talking and sitting down with us to see, you know, the way in which we work with couples around domestic violence and healthy marriage, how that can have an impact on the domestic violence field and have them thinking in a different way.
Very good. Let's show our appreciation. Now, we're going to make a transition. This group is going to be moving here, and this group is going to be moving there. That being said, we can do a question as they're doing the shift. Does anybody have a burning question that they want to have responded to? Yeah, did you have your hand, or you're just pointing to your friend? Okay. No one has a question, or does someone have a burning question?
You can ask us at the end, too.
Yeah. And then write down your comments, too, if there's a question that you have, and we can try to respond to it. Okay. Now, in the second panel, what we're going to do is get a chance to shift a little bit and to look at some emerging issues and some new areas of practice. On this panel, we have with us Juan Carlos Arian. He's the Senior Program Director for Children's Programs in the City of Boston, in the Boston Office of the Family Violence Prevention Fund. They have an office in San Francisco, but also an office in Boston. That's where Juan Carlos is there, with also his colleague, Lana Davis. And he's going to get a chance to talk a minute about some exciting work that they are doing to engage men. We also have with us, and first what we're going to get a chance to hear from is Marlene Pearson, who is a social science instructor at the two-year Madison Avenue or Madison Area Technical College. And what I said, did I say something wrong again?
Madison Avenue. We work kind of against that.
It's a church somewhere, so I'm sorry, I'm into my spiritual mode this morning. But at a two-year Madison Area Technical College in Madison, Wisconsin. She's the co-author of a new program called Within My Reach, a relationship and marriage education program for individuals that play a great deal of attention to domestic violence. With her and is Jill Smith, will tell us about the impact of the program on her and her life. And Marlene, could you tell us a little bit about how you got into this work?
Is this okay? Microphone? Okay. I'd be happy to, because I think it might say something about why I think relationship and marriage education is so important. My entry into this field has really a lot to do with what my students have taught me over the years, people like Jill and others. And I'll say something about our college. Maybe some of you are familiar with the two-year system, but many of our students are the first in their families to go to college. Most are not economically privileged. We have more diverse students. We have many single parents. The average age is anywhere from like 19 to mid to late 20s, the bulk of our students. Quite frankly, I'm really big on these students. I think they're really just amazing, amazing young people. But over the years, what I saw over the years was how many of our young people, many of our students, young adults, would make progress in their lives. And then to see that progress thrown off track by troubled relationships, often with a pregnancy, often with a second pregnancy, to see young students, young people drop out, discontinue their studies, just really get overwhelmed with dealing with exes, and often dealing with children. Who are challenging and difficult, maybe because of some of the instability in their life or whatever. I've seen a lot of children hurt by live-in boyfriends. And also, too, I deal a lot with young men. And we have a number of young men who've lived in the fast lane, gangs, drugs, criminal justice system. And they're really starting to get their lives together now. And they've got a support payment to one child, then to a second. And it really makes life very difficult. They're not even into the labor market yet. And so what I kind of concluded was that relationship troubles really had the power to derail, to set back progress in employment and in education, and sometimes in parenting, too, and put their children at risk. And so that really kind of started getting me thinking that there's really a missing piece. There's a real missing piece out there to helping people succeed. And not only helping young people to succeed, but also I thought a missing piece to family support and strengthening work, which is something that I've been very involved in for a long, long time. And yet that's one place where people get very little help. And I have just a quote that I'd like to read to you, because it's from one of my former students that I think, you know, really is quite poignant. This is a young woman, 27 years old. She has three children, three different fathers. Two of the fathers are in prison. She had her first child at 15. She's had a very hard life, very, very bright woman, very promising, had to drop out more than once, and she's out of school right now. I've gotten help with getting my GED, with parenting, with health care, now even with a job, but I've never gotten help with relationships. I know zip about how to build a healthy relationship or even what it's supposed to look like. I have no clue about what a healthy marriage looks like. But what pains me the most is to see my 11-year-old daughter going down the same path as me, looking for love in all the wrong places as I did. I have no wisdom to offer her except don't have sex. But if you do, use protection. And so anyways, when I think about it, you know, until the marriage, the research and skills-based marriage programs came along, there really was very little to help people with their love lives until they were so miserable and troubled. Maybe if they were lucky, they went to therapy. And so, you know, I really saw that as, you know, just really, really important in terms of helping people earlier on.
Marlene, could you do this? Could you tell us about the main points of your program?
Within my reach is a new program, and it my sort of involvement really has to do with the fact that about 11 years ago I was trained in one of the marriage skills programs, and I went home thinking, this is way too good to wait until people are engaged and married. I could teach this to single parents, I could teach it to singles, I could teach it to couples, so I started to do that. And then I was invited with that team to work on a program for individuals. Okay, so within my reach, and so I'm just gonna talk a little bit about that program. There's a lot of programs, but I'll tell you a little bit about this one because I know a lot about it. I think it's unique in the marriage education field because people take it as individuals. Most are parents. Because they take it as an individual, there's a lot of safety and there's a lot of space to address healthy relationships, unhealthy relationships, including domestic violence, and there's also a lot of space to explore the importance and the benefits of healthy and stable parental relationships on children. Within my reach is designed for people who are in one of three places. So you have different people, okay? You could have an individual who is in a relationship and really wants a future. You could have an individual who is in a relationship, not sure, maybe yes, maybe no. We know that some of those relationships are dangerous and destructive. We also know that some of them maybe are viable, but certain things have to change, improve, or whatever, to move forward. And there are a whole lot of people that come also that are not in a relationship right now. They're parents, but they're not in a relationship right now. And I think the reality today is that there's a significant number of people today who are in relationships that are very uncertain, unstable, and complicated. And, you know, people who deal with a lot of stresses in their lives, poverty, children from multiple partners. Unique features, how it relates to our topic of domestic violence, I'll just kind of run through them quickly. We have a major effort in this program to raise awareness of how children are affected by troubled relationships. In particular, how children are affected by abusive relationships, but in general, how children are affected by relationship turbulence, you know, a new word that we use for troubled, unstable, serial partnerships. That's a major hook. That really is a major hook. I think it's really motivating for men and for women, and there are men that take this program. It's not just women. Also, you know, I think that parents really love their children, but many parents don't realize how their love lives affect their children. So that, I think, is one really big thing, is raising that awareness of the effect of the relationships on children. Another thing is that it has a major concentration of the conflict, the communication and conflict management skills that you will find in many, many marriage education programs. And so, you know, how to recognize danger signs, how to take timeouts, how to raise issues, you know, without being in somebody's face, how to, you know, use a speaker-listener technique, how to come back and problem solve. This is very, very important, whether the couple stays together or not. Very, very important for couples whose arguments may get physical. Okay? Very, very important. There's also strong messages throughout on safety and domestic violence. It's not just in one place, it's throughout. And people like Ann Menard, who was a major consultant in the program, and Mike Johnson, really helped us to craft those safety messages. But I think what may be most unique about the program is that it really helps participants cultivate a vision of a positive relationship. And I think we shouldn't underestimate that. Really helping people to get in touch with their expectations, their desires, what they want. And again, I'm going to read another quote because I think it's really so telling. This is from a young woman, Rita. She's 30 years old. I'm so glad, and she's been through a lot, I'm so glad I took this course. It's made me conscious of what I want from a relationship and what isn't acceptable anymore. I'm sort of scared to try again, but I feel more confident that I won't allow for, excuse me, bullshit again, or at least it won't go on as long. But again, it's not just cultivating a relationship vision, because then they're given guides and frameworks and skills to actually go about healthy relationships, making decisions. For instance, they'll learn that a healthy relationship is absolutely synonymous with safety. But yet there's three types of safety. It's not just physical safety, it's emotional safety. And it's also the safety of trust. commitment? Do you have my back? Are you going to be there for me? But speaking of trust and commitment, we also really deal with the good, the bad, the ugly of commitment. They also, you know, get 7 principles of smart love, which are components that healthy relationships are based upon. It's all done in activity-based forms, but they use this in terms of assessing a relationship, identifying what might have to change, or what to look for next time. And sliding is a really big concept. The risks of sliding, that's one reason, that's one way that people get into relationships that are dangerous and relationships that may not work out. By the way, I know I have to finish right now, but there are also a lot of activities that help participants think through very, very difficult issues. Gender distrust, infidelity, should I live together, should I continue living together, should I restore this relationship, the importance of fathers, how to deal with exes, how to make new families work, how to build community support. My last comment is that I think that relationship and marriage education really offers something important for the domestic violence field. I can say personally that I have probably had more men and women realize that they were in destructive or dangerous relationships and take action since I really started building up the healthy relationship stuff than all those years where I only focused on the bad stuff and what to avoid. And so I think that it kind of goes at it from another angle, which I think is very complementary. It's like, oh wow, this is what a healthy relationship is, this is what I want. And then identifying, this is what needs to be in place or happen or whatever. And I also know that many, many folks have been helped to move forward, deepen their commitment, move towards marriage, or improve the marriage they're in. So I think that it's really a two-way street here where both parties really benefit. And I want to introduce Jill. You want me to introduce Jill?
I absolutely do.
Jill Smith, I met her when she was 19 and was pregnant. And Jill, just take it away.
Okay, hello. My name is Jill Smith. And just starting by telling you a little about myself, I grew up on a little dairy farm in a little town called Hillsboro, Wisconsin. I graduated in 2003 from high school, and the next fall I started school at Madison Area Technical College, where I started my 2-year degree. About a year into college, I fell in love, and I found myself pregnant very quickly, and single again just about as quickly. This is where I met Marlene, single, 19, pregnant, needing a lot of advice. I had a loving family and lots of friends, but no one really told me it was wrong having a baby without being married, that it was a real problem. My friends just patted my belly and told me what a cute little pregnant lady I was. No one told me how hard it was going to be a single parent. The relationship class that I took that Marlene was teaching helped me realize how important healthy relationships are for children. I wanted the relationship between the father of my son and me to work. So when my son, Alexander James, was born, we gave it another shot. Now, hindsight is always 20/20. If I would have had the skills I know now, I would have realized that him showing up with 2 bottles of wine and a rose isn't romantic. It's a really big red flag. So we're together. I started school again. I was a full-time student, a full-time parent, a full-time fiance, we were engaged, and a worker of 3 part-time jobs at the time. Our relationship became rocky, very rocky. We signed up for a couple relationships class that Marlene was teaching, and my partner left halfway through the first class, and he was a no-show to the second one because he had been drinking. During the class, I took a couple communication quizzes, and it was a real eye-opener. It showed me danger sign after danger sign in the relationship I was in now. Despite so many efforts to continue and make it work, it just continued to deteriorate. There was chronic alcoholism, tons of emotional abuse, and it even crossed the line into physical abuse a couple times. It all built up into a crescendo that ended just before my son was 2 years old. I feel confident I'd done everything I could to make the relationship work with my ex, but it wasn't going to work. Within the last year, I learned within my reach, and it's helped me move on to a new healthy relationship. This program has helped me make smart decisions in my new relationship and take it slow for myself and my son, rather than sliding into something new. I made sure our expectations were the same before we started, that we wanted a future family together. Everything was out on the table. Our first date was actually more like a job interview than anything. And 8 months later, we're happier than I've ever been, and he agrees. So also my favorite, my most important skill I think I learned in this program are the ones that build communication. The speaker-listener technique, timeouts, learning about danger signs, the problem-solving models, all things I had no clue about. They help me keep my current relationship happy and healthy, but they also help me keep the relationship with my ex very civil, and it keeps fights from escalating and getting really nasty. So I'm 23 now, my son is almost 3, I now have my associate degree. Thanks to these skills-based relationship programs that I've taken, I see a bright future for myself and, more importantly, my son. Thank you.
Very good, Jill. Before we move on to Juan Carlos, I have a question for you. If you had to be in a room full of young women who are, and young men, and talk to them about things that you've learned, there's a term that you use that I'd like you to unpack for me, okay? To sort of define a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what a smart decision is. You said that what you've learned to do is to make smart decisions. If you had to tell them what that meant, what would you say?
Well, there's an order that you should do things. First off, if you've already made the decision, if you're already pregnant, if you've done that, there are decisions you can make from every point you're at. Like, right now I have my son, but I'm getting my degree. I'm actually going on for my bachelor's now. And I'm getting my full education before I get married, before I do things. It's just an order that works better. And you can make smarter decisions at every point you're at. There's no judgments. I mean, everyone makes decisions that you're kind of like, oh, what did I do? Why did I do that? You know? But every single person can start at a certain point. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can start making better decisions for you, for whoever you're with, for your children. And you need skills to do that. I mean, I had no clue. This stuff seems like common sense, but it doesn't come from anywhere. If you're from the middle of nowhere, like you are from me, I have great parents. I love my parents. I love my friends. No one tells you that screaming at someone doesn't work. You know, like you see people fighting. There's ways of fighting. You don't have to scream at each other. Calm down. Talk about what you really need to talk about. My boyfriend right now, 8 months, we haven't had a fight yet. I thought that was abnormal. That's not.
You will.
We will. We will. I'm sure we will. But we talk through things. We don't just jump on each other. So.
Well, thanks a lot, Marlene and Jill. Let's give them another round of applause. Very, very good. We want to get a chance to talk about a few other things, too. And another question that arises from this work is, how to work most effectively and respectfully with men who've had a history of being violent but also want to change. You know, and also want to have healthy relationships with their partners and with their children. You know, although the primary emphasis of the issue around domestic violence has really been focused on women and the protection of women, increasingly, you know, I can attest to that in terms of the work that I've done over the years, people have been thinking about how to engage with men. And I think also to try to find different ways to make a connection with them to help enrich their relationships so abuse won't continue and that they'll have healthier relationships with their partners and with their children. So, and I think programs, as I just mentioned, have been more thoughtful about finding ways to engage men in different ways. Maybe not, you know, the phrase I always say that if you done what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. And so what we need to do now is we need to start to shift in ways that we think about it. And I think all fields have developed. you know, we've evolved in different ways. And this is a way to be able to, and I think a most auspicious moment to be able to shift our work. And I think these programs that we've been talking about are examples of that. Juan Carlos is from the Family Violence Prevention Fund, as I mentioned before, and has been a pioneer in this work focusing on men. And he will get a chance to talk to us about some of his efforts to address some of these issues. And so, Juan Carlos, you have developed an important new teaching tool in a video called Something My Father Would Do. I was in England 2 weeks ago, and I got a chance to give it to the folks there who've been thinking about integrating this work in terms of dealing with, you know, fathering and domestic violence. And they were really excited to be able to get that, as well as to other places. It's one of those things I keep with me everywhere I go now. Maybe I'm not really overstating it too much, but at any rate, you're going to get a chance to show us a clip from this great work, and then talk to us a little bit.
Absolutely, and good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here too. And that's not an understatement at all of what Oliver said, because he has a very busy travel schedule, and we know at the office where he's been by the request that we get from this video. You know? Oh, he's in Wisconsin now. Now he's in California. Literally, this is true. So let's hope that the technology will work here. So I want everybody to cross their fingers. And I will tell you a little bit about our work to put this in context. I think I have to restart the computer here.